Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadi, and we are 13 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we began the 7th Perek of Masechtas Chulin, Perek Did Hanasha, which deals primarily with the halachos of the Gid Hanasha. So the third mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Chinuch's Minyan HaMitzvahs, is Shaloi Lechol Gid Hanasha. And the origin of the Loisase Gid Hanasha goes way back. It predates Maimed Har Sinai. In fact, it's mentioned in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayishlach. It was an Isser that went into effect because of a Maisa Shehoya Kachoya, a story that the Gemara is going to discuss in great detail in the coming Dafin. Tomorrow's Daf, the following Daf, is going to have a lot of Agadata, which is going to darshan some of the psukim that we're quite familiar with in Parshas Vayishlach. But from a high level, Yaakov Avinu gets into a fight, a struggle with a malach. As I'll say, the malach was none other than Sarish Alesa, Vayar Kilo Yochaloi, and the malach was struggling to try to defeat Yaakov Avinu. Vayiga Bekaf Yerechoi. So what it did was, is it hit Yaakov Bekaf Yerechoi. We'll see what that means. Vateika Kaf Yerech Yaakov Behe Ofko Yimoy. At the very end, the pasuk says, because of what happened, and because of the fact that the malach struck Yaakov Bekaf Yerechoi, and Yaakov was injured as a result, the pasuk says, "Behutzay leya al yurechay al kain pashit to commemorate this event." La yoichlu bnei Yisrael es gid hanasha. The Torah said that one is not allowed to eat the gid hanasha of the animal al kaf yurech, which is in that area. It's in the kaf yurechay, the thigh, the femur area of the animal. Ad hayoy mazeh ki noga bekaf yurech Yaakov begid hanasha. What's interesting is the Torah did not say that because of what happened to Yaakov, you're not allowed to eat the thigh of the animal. You're allowed to eat the thigh of the animal. What the Torah says you're not allowed to eat is the gid hanasha. That's this one gid. It's known as the sciatic nerve, which is in the thigh area, if you refer to your diagram. So it's that the Torah said one is not allowed to eat, related to this maisa that happened in Parshas Vayishlach. Again, we're going to go into detail as far as what exactly the Gid HaNasha is. We're going to go into detail to understand the context a little bit better as it relates to Parshas Vayishlach. But for now, we have more of a lamdisha daf, a daf that is going to discuss primarily a more abstract detail of the laws of Gid HaNasha. And that is, the Mishnah said that Gid HaNasha is noyig bechulin ubemukdashim. The laws of Gid HaNasha relate to an animal that's chulin. It also relates to an animal that's kachim. And the Gemara asks pshita. Meaning, at first glance, it sounds like if you have an animal that's chulin, you shecht it, of course there's going to be an issa Gid HaNasha. What happens if you makdish this animal? Now it's hektish, it's a carbon shlomim. So you shecht the carbon shlomim. So part of the shlomim, the chalovim, those are parts you're not allowed to eat anyways, go on the mizbeach. The rest of it gets distributed amongst the kayanim and amongst the balabal. Balabatim of this carbon shlomim. Says the Mishnah that just like when the behemoth was chulin, there was an issa Gid HaNasha, so too now that it's kashim, there's going to be an issa Gid HaNasha as well. The Gemara says, why would you think otherwise? Mishum da akdish pakale issa Gid Minei. Why would you think that because now it's hektish, there suddenly shouldn't be an issa Gid HaNasha? And the Gemara had two immediate failed attempts to try to understand Pashim Shana, the Mishnah. And from here, really, the first quarter or so of the daf, the Gemara is going to try to figure out exactly what the Mishnah means. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah when it says that Gid HaNasha is noyeg b'mukdashim? Says the Gemara, Elohacha b'vladeis kachem askinam. We're talking about not an animal that was born chulin and then afterwards its owner made it hektish, but rather we're discussing an animal that was born already hektish. Now, before we even explain that, says the Gemara v'kasava, we're going according to the opinion of noyeg b'shlo, that the issa Gid HaNasha applies to a fetus, just as it applies to a fully born animal. We saw in the Mishnah, it's a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Tanakama, whether there's an issa Gid HaNasha in a fetus or not. In other words, if you shecht an animal and you find a live animal inside, there's a ben pekuah. So do the laws of Gid HaNasha relate to the ben pekuah? The ben pekuah has its own shulchan aruch. It doesn't require shechita. There's machlekes in the Gemara whether there's an issa chelev. So how about Gid HaNasha? Does Gid HaNasha relate to a fetus or not? Says the Mishnah, it's a machlekes tanah. This pshat in the first part of the Mishnah that says Gid HaNasha is noyeh b'mukdashim is going to be discussing a vlodeis kachim. It's going to be going according to the mandama that holds that the laws of Gid HaNasha relate to a fetus. Because Savar and another akimta they have to make just to understand that one word in the Mishnah u'b'mukdashim is you have to say vlodeis kachim b'mei iman hinkdashim, that an animal that gives birth to another animal that's hektish, so the baby is hektish, and its kedusha is already chal b'me'iman. And as we'll see later in the sugya, not everybody holds that way. But for now, kasavar vlodes kachim b'meima in hengdashim. So what did we accomplish by doing all this? The iser gid v'iser mukdashim b'hadi adadi kaasi. Being that we're discussing vlad hektish, so the cases where the iser gid hanosha and the iser hektish were both chal b'vasachas, meaning at the same time that the animal got its iser gid hanosha, it also got its iser hektish. And at the same time that it got its iser hektish, it got its iser gid hanosha. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that Gida Nosha is Noyeb Mukdasha, meaning Enochinami. If you had an animal that's already a year old, and now someone goes ahead and he's Makdash, it's possible that there's going to be an Issa Gida Nosha. I don't need the Mishnah to tell me that. Now, what was the Gemara's Kasha? Mukdashim Pshita. Why is it Pashit? Mishum da Akdash Epokale Issa Gidmin, eh? You're right. The Mishnah's not talking about a case where it was Chulin, then you were Makdash, and Kamash Malon, that even though you were Makdash, it's still the animal retains its Issa Gida Nosha. There's no Havamina to think otherwise. But rather, what the Mishnah's talking about is where the animal was born already with the in the state of hektish, so that the iser gid hanosha and the iser hektish both came about at the same time. If they both came about at the same time, maybe there would have been a havamino that the iser gid hanosha is not going to be chal b'vasachas together with the iser hektish. If the iser gid hanosha was there before the hektish, of course it's going to retain its iser gid hanosha after you makdish it. But if there was no before, because everything happened simultaneously, in that case, maybe you would think the iser gid hanosha was never chal. Kamash malon, that it was. Now, one other thing that's important, if you want to really understand this Gemara, and that is that anytime you talk about something having two Isurim, you have to get involved in the sugya of Isur Chal al Issa. This is a sugya arucha, which encompasses literally the entire Shas, and that is Isur Chal al Issa, Ein Isur Chal al Issa, and even the Ma'anama that holds that Ein Isur Chal al Issa, there's something called Isur Moisef, Isur Kol. So the point is anytime you're discussing something that has two Isurim, you have to look at it in the context of Isur Chal al Issa. Now, this seems to be a classic example of Issa Chal al Issa. You have a gid. This gid, you're danning to Isurim. Number one, the gid is Asur Bachila because it's Hektish. You're not allowed to eat Hektish. And number two, this gid is Asur Bachila because it's the gid Hanosha. And as a result, the gid Hanosha is something that's always Asur Bachila. But Pashit, in this beer in the Gemara, it's not going to be a Kasha. How could the Mishnah say Gid HaNosha is Noyeb Mukdashim and that you can have an Isser Gid HaNosha and an Isser Hektish? Because being that they're both Chal B'Vasachas, one of the exceptions to the rule of when you do say Isser Chal Al Isser is B'Vasachas. So if the two Isurim are Chal B'Vasachas, not an Isser Chal Al Isser. What's an Isser Chal Al Isser? One Isser, and then the other one wants to be Chal on top of that Isser. In this case, where they're both Chal B'Vasachas, that in and of itself won't be an issue. But the point is that when the Mishnah said Gid HaNosha is Noyeb Mukdashim, it's not talking about an animal that was born chulin and later became hektish, but rather we're talking about an animal that was born hektish, and being that it was born hektish, the kedushas hektish was already chal b'me'iman. The isegid anosha is also chal b'me'iman. It was vasachas. There's no problem with venus or chal alisser. And the chiddush is that b'vas achas, the isegid anosha is going to be chal. But the Gemara says, how could you tell me the Mishnah is talking about a fetus? Amiditani sefer noig b'shlil. The sefer the Mishnah discusses what happens if you have a fetus, like a ben pakua. Is there an isegid anosha on a fetus or not? So it sounds like that's the sefer of the Mishnah. The Rishon Lab of the Shulah skin doesn't sound like the Rishon Mishnah is not discussing the Shulah. Mara says no. Hachi comment. Davos that machloek is Rabbi the Rabbanan. This teretz, the way you read the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says b'mukid anosh is naibim mukdashim, it's already discussing the Shulah. Zokta Mishnah. By the way, as it relates to saying that there's a nisigid anosh of the Shulah, it's really totally in a machloek is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and that's the hemshich of the Mishnah. See, right when the Mishnah mentions Shulah, when you read the Mishnah the first time, it sounds like now we're going to discuss something that hasn't been discussed yet in the Mishnah. In light of this beer of the Gemara, that's really a hemshich to what the Gemara already said. But the Gemara says, "Mimotzis amr de travai b'hadodi ka'asu." Is it possible to say that the Issa Hektish and the Issa Gid HaNosha are Chal B'Vasachas? Again, why did we need the two to be Chal B'Vasachas? Because you can't have the Gid HaNosha be Chal before the Issa Hektish. Because then pshita, then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? That once you makdish it, you still have the iser gid hanosha. And you can't say this hektish is chal before the iser gid hanosha, because then l'churi you'll have a problem of ein iser chal al iser. So really what you need in order to make the teretz of the Gemara work is to say they were both chal b'vasachas. But the Gemara says, not true. But time we go into the Mishnah, leilu tumo is hanosa megaleach. So we know a nazir, one of his isur mar, is not allowed to be metamed to a mace. What happens if a nazir is metamed to a mace? It soiser his nazirus. It knocks out his entire nazirus. So if somebody was mekabel l'stam nazirus, which is 30 days, and now he's holding a day 27, he goes to a Beis HaKfaris, he comes in contact to a mace, he has to start all over again. All the days he counted get knocked out, and he has to be tamei for 7 days. He brings karbanas, and then afterwards he starts all over again. So says the Mishnah, al elu tumois hanazer megalech. The following tumas can cause a nazar to have to start all over again, meaning do his taglachas and start from scratch. Al hameis, if he comes in contact with a meis, val kazayis ben hameis, or he comes in contact with a kazayis ben hameis. V'kashlon, and Chazal asked the obvious question on this Mishnah, al kazayis ben hameis megalech. If the Mishnah says that a nazar is megalech when he comes in contact with a kazayis of a meis, then obviously he has to be megalech if he comes in contact with an entire meis. No, you know what the chiddush of mace is? It's talking about a mace that had no kazayis min hameis. What does kazayis min hameis mean? A kazayis a basar. It's possible to have a mace and there not be a kazayis basar yet. A nefil. A nefil that's so early term, shalai nikshrei varav begidin, in that stage of the fetus's life, it doesn't have a kazayis basar yet. It's still considered a nefel, but at the same time, being that there is no kezayis basar, there's no evarim, there's no gidin, therefore you would have thought that maybe it's not metama. Says the Mishnah, a nazar is megalech if he comes in contact with a kezayis basar min hameis, or if he comes in contact with a nefel, meaning a mace that doesn't have a kezayis basar. But you see from here is that the nefel is considered a nefel, the fetus is considered a fetus even before it has a kezayis basar, even before it's nikshuru evarav begidin. What we need is even before it has a gidanasha, it's still considered a mace. Alma, so what do you see? Is muktashim kadim? So you see, lechura, if you want to translate that into asugya, that there is a hektish on the nefel, should be chal before the issa gedanosh. Issa hektish would be chal as soon as it's a fetus. So if the nazar is megalech when it comes in contact with this fetus, even though it doesn't have a gid yet, then lechura the issa hektish should also be chal. Now there's not going to be an issa gedanosh until there's a gid. So you see, hektish is chal before the gid. If hektish is chal before the gid, then even if you'll be making the mishnah that it's a shlil, lechura, how could you have gedanosh on a shlil of hektish? You have a problem that the hektish was chal first, and as a result, ein iser chalal iser, says the Gemara. Afagav to iser muktashim kadim. You're right. You have to say that the iser hektish is going to be chal before the iser gedanasha. If that's the case, how could the Mishnah be talking about that? How could there be gedanasha if first there was an iser hektish? What happened to ein iser chalal iser? So the Gemara says the reason there's no problem with iser chalal is not because the chal bevasachas. That's what we thought till now. They're not chal bevasachas, but osi it gid. It's for a different reason. And the reason is because Gid Anosh has a chumrah, it's noyek bibin noyach. Now, the truth is, a ben noyach is not osir to eat the Gid Anosh. In fact, the Torah is very clear. It says in the Torah, Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael. That's Gid Anosh. It couldn't be more clear. It's Tavka b'nei Yisrael. What it means is that it's mentioned in Parshas Vayishlach, in the Parshas of b'nei noyach, it was said to Yaakov Avinu when he was a ben noyach. But the point is shekain isura noyeg bivnei noyach, and as a result, that's a chumrah. Thus, even though ordinarily a nisachal lisser, this is another exception to the rule. So usually a nisachal lisser, but there's something called this a meisiv, something called this a koil, something called this a bevasachas, and there's something called if isura is noyeg bivneiach. That's the reason that it should be chal. So in other words, the same teretz. The teretz is we're talking about a fetus that was already born hektish. In that case, the Isser Gidanasha was not chal before the Isser Hektish. Thus, there would have been a Havamina that maybe there is no Isser Gidanasha. Kamash one, there is an Isser Gidanasha. The problem is, how's the Isser Gidanasha chal? Isn't there an issue of an Isser Chal al Isser? Says the Gemara, no, because Gidanasha is one of those Isurim that somehow transcend the laws of Issa Chal al Issa. It has a special chumrah. Why would it have a special chumrah? Shekein Yisurei Noyag b'menech. But the Gemara says, Man Shamblei Haisfar, who's the one that holds that the Isser of Gid Hanasha could be chal on another Isser, Shekein Yisurei b'nei Noyach? It happens to be Rabbi Yehuda Shito. But Masi isn't like Rabbi Yehuda. We know for a fact our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Tani, the Mishnah said, Noyag b'behemu b'chai b'yerech shal yaminu b'yerech shal sma. The Mishnah said that the laws of Gid Hanasha relate to the right thigh of the animal, the left thigh of the animal. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, we know this already from previous Tafin, and we're going to see it on Ahmed Beis in detail. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that you don't have the Issa Gid Anosha on both thighs. Was Rabbi Yehuda Mesupik which thigh? Did he know which thigh? That's a whole discussion in the Gemara. But Rabbi Yehuda certainly does not hold Yerech Shal Yeminu B'Yerech Shal Smaim, which means the time of the Mishnah is to show on Rabbi Yehuda. So how could you excuse Rabbi Yehuda Shita that this Issa Chalal Isser by the Gid Anosha, Shekein Yisurei Noi B'Menayach, to explain the Stam Mishnah of Muktashim? The Stam Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Stam Mishnah also says that Gid Anosha is Noi both your Yerechais, and Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that it's not Noi both your Yerechais. Says the Gemara, what's the obvious answer? The Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. and it's not Rabbi Yehuda. It's somebody else. Hay Tano, it's the Tano. Let's say Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda as it relates to Issachal. So he does not look like Rabbi Yehuda as it relates to which thigh is going to have the Isser of Gid Ha Nasha. The Gemara asks one final question on this pshat in the Gemara, and that is named the Shamalei the Rabbi Yehuda B'tmeyo, the Isser Lav Kachim the Isser Karis Mishamalei. It's true. There's a sheet that's Rabbi Yehuda that holds Issachal Isser by Gid Hanasha, because it has a chumash, but the context in which Rabbi Yehuda said is chiddush, which is something that we'll see in later dafin, was with regards to Issa Gid Hanasha being chal on a regular loisaseh. So on a regular loisaseh, even though ain't Issa chal alisa, it could be chal. But here we're not discussing a regular loisaseh, we're discussing Issa hektish. Issa hektish involves karis, tumas, mikdash, mekadash, right? So here you're dealing with real halachos. We're dealing with Issa karis. So being that we're dealing with Issa karis, maybe you don't apply Rabbi Yehuda's shita of shekeni surei noyach b'nei noyach and say issa chalissa and an issa karis. It's already a leap to take that Rabbi Yehuda and apply it over here, because Rabbi Yehuda only said it when the issa is being chal on an issa kal, an ordinary issa. He never said it with regards to an issa karis. And the Gemara is so persuaded with our question, and the Gemara says we have no choice but we have to fall off about what we just said. Again, we're trying to explain the mission that says gid hanashas noyach b'muktosh. The kash is mustachidish. Why would you think if you machdish an animal that it should lose its issa gid hanashas? The teretz of the Gemara is we're talking about where you weren't makdish the animal. The animal was already born hektish. Oh, it was born hektish. So maybe the Isser Gid Hanasha is not chal on this animal that's hektish. Kamash Mulan it is. But the Gemara said if it was born hektish, the Isser hektish is chal before the Isser Gid Hanasha. How do I know that? Because you see that there's a stage in the fetus's life where it's viewed as a life. A nazir is not allowed to come in contact with it, for example. And if he does, it's Isser's Naziris. But yet, it doesn't have any Gidin yet. It doesn't have a Kazayas Basar even. So you see that the Isser hektish is chal before the Isser Gid Hanasha. So how could the Isser Gid Hanasha then be chal? How could that be the pshat of the Mishnah? There is no Isser Gid Hanasha in that case, because of ein iser chal al iser. So the first teretz the Gemara said was is iser benayach is different. But the Gemara said that no, your precedence for that is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said it regarding an ordinary iser. This is already an iser karis. So the Gemara gives another teretz, which should go smoothly in light of a sugi that we learned together not long ago in Perek Behemah Mekasha, and that is Hocha b'mevakeres askinon the berechem kadosh. What's the halacha of a mevakeres of a animal who is giving birth to a bechar? There the halacha is that as long as the animal is inside the rechem, there's no kedusha. It's only when it's pet the rechem. It says, when there's a leida, that's when it becomes kaddish. You're right. Ordinarily, hektish is chal b'meyimon. But there is an example of an animal that's hektish that's not chal until the shas leida. At the time of the leida, the issa gid hanasha is chal as well. So the Mishnah that says the gid hanasha is noyeh b'mukdashim is talking about kedushas b'char, not just any hektish, but the hektish of b'char. Hektish of b'char is chal b'shas leida. Gid hanasha is also chal b'shas leida. There's no problem of issa chal alisser because they're both chal b'vasachas. There's also a chiddush, because you would have thought maybe the issa gid hanasha is not chal on an animal that's also going to be hektish. And finally, a third teretz, vlada is kachim b'aviyosin hinkdoshim. The whole kasha was predicated on the fact that being that this animal, the fetus, is already a nafel, it's considered a life on some level. You see the nazis megaleach, if it comes in contact with it, so that means it's hektish already b'me'iman. If that's the case, how could the issa gid hanasha be chal? What happened to ein issa chal al issa? The teretz that the Gemara is going to give is that who said that just because it's a nafel, it's already chal hektish? There is a man nama that holds who's kasavar vladis kachim b'me'iman ein k'taysh. But there's another man nama that says that the hektish is never chal until it's born. If you hold the hektish, not chal until it's born, so then there's no problem of ein issa chal isser. The hektish is chal when it's born, the gid hanasha is chal when it's born. As a result, there's not going to be an issa. So what's the teretz? What's the bottom line? What's the short answer? This was very long-winded, but what's the short answer? When the Mishnah says gid hanasha is noyeh b'mukdashim, what it means is we're discussing an animal that was born hektish. It was born hektish, and kamash malon, that even though this animal is going to have an issa hektish, still there's also going to be an issa gid hanasha. Kash is, doesn't the hektish happen a little bit before the gid hanasha? And if that's the case, isn't there a problem of issa chal al isser? So for that, the Gemara gave three terutzim. Either there's no issa chal isser by gid hanasha, shekei nisuri noyeh b'mneach, or we're talking about bechar, kedushas bechar is never chal b'meyimon, or we're going according to Bandama that says that no hektish is ever chal b'meyimon. Now, the truth is, what about a regular animal? An animal that wasn't born hektish, an animal that was a behemoth that somebody was makdish. Of course, when the Mishnah says gid hanasha is noyeh b'mukdashim, it means that also. The whole reason we needed this whole discussion to come up with the nekimta for the Mishnah was to explain the chiddush of the Mishnah. But right, just to be clear, but at the end of the day, when the Mishnah says the gid hanasha is noyeh b'mukdashim, it means all hektish has
Gid Hanasha. Either way, Omer Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Reb Chiya Bar Yosef said, another Lamdisha idea. When the Mishnah says, Gid Hanasha is not a bit Mukdashim, that's only true with regards to Kachim Hanecholim. What's Kachim Hanecholim? Asham, Chata, Shlomim, Taida, all Karbonos that are Nechal. Kachim Shein Nechalim, such as an Oila, Ein Isser Gid Noyek Behem. Over there, there's going to be no Isser Gid Hanasha. That's Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Rabbi Yechon said, Echa Kachim Hanecholim. It doesn't matter if we're dealing with kachim anachalim. Even kachim shein anachalim, even a carbon oila, the halacha is, it's not going to be an iser gid. Now, first glance, it sounds like this is a machloik. So I'm wrap up of a loy pli. Kan lahal koisoi, kan lahal loisoi. There's really no machloikis at all. When Rabbi Yochanan said, going backwards, that the iser gid anasha relates both to kachim anachalim and even kachim shein anachalim, he was talking about eating it. If somebody eats the gid anasha of an oila, he's going to get malchus. And nobody disagrees with that. Meaning, even though there's other isurim involved in somebody eating the gid hanosh of an oila, you're not eating an oila, period. So certainly not eating the gid hanosh of an oila. It's like gara from any part of the oila. Stating that, there's an isur gid hanosh, and nobody disagrees with that. So what Reb Chiya Bar Yosef mean when he said that lo yishanu elo b'kachem anachalim, ava b'kachem anachalim not, he meant, is there an isur to take the gid hanosh of an oila and to be makter on the mizbech? Now this is a shiloh that's only negeya an oila. Why? Because ordinarily there's very specific parts of the animal that went on the mizbech. It was the chalavim. The gid hanasha is not part of the chalavim, so it never went on the mizbech. So this is a moot conversation. The shiloh is the oila, where the oila had a din of kulei kolol. The entire oila, besides for the skin, went on the mizbech. So if the entire oila is going to the mizbech, what about the gid hanasha? Just like when you eat the entire animal, you have to remove the gid hanasha. Do you have the same halacha when you makter the carbon oila? You have to remove it or not? No, that was Reb Chiya Bar Yosef's halacha, where he said that by kachim she'enin nechalim, meaning the carbon oila, there's no iser gid to be makter on the mizbeach. Oh, very good. But as it relates to the iser achil, meaning there's no machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about eating it. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef was talking about being makter it. Eating it, of course, there's an iser. Just because it's an oila doesn't mean you're allowed to eat the gid hanasha. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef was talking about being makter. Ikedamri, some say, om rapapa v'loy pligi, meaning same comment of rapapa, that there's, although at first glance it seems to be machlokes, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, really, there's no machlokes, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan. But what then were Reb Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan respectively talking about? Kan lechaltsoi, kan lehaloisoi. Meaning, in this version, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to take the... I'm sorry, there's no machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you have the... There's no iser of... Rabbi Yochanan said that there is an iser gid hanasha even by a carbon oila. He was talking about to take the carbon, the gid hanasha of the oila independently and to put it on the mizbeach. That you're not allowed to do. So even though you're not eating it, you're putting it on the mizbeach, but if it's separate from the rest of the animal, you want to go ahead and put it on the mizbeach, that's something you can't do. L'chautzai, however, it doesn't mean that you have to remove the gid hanasha when you're putting the oil on the mizbeach. So they weren't discussing achila. Maybe achila is pashat that you're not allowed to eat it. They were both discussing putting it on the mizbeach. So first we thought in the first lashon of the Gemara that it's never a problem to put it on the mizbeach. What should be the problem to put it on the mizbeach? You're not allowed to eat it. It doesn't say you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach. Rav Papa in his second lashon said, no, I'm not so sure. It could be that when Rabbi Yochanan said that there's an iser gid hanasha b'kachem she'en and chalim b'aykarim, it could be meant even putting it on the mizbeach. Stating that, he meant specifically if it was separate from the rest of the animal, you can't make a special halah, special haktara for that part of the oila. Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, when he said it's okay, he wasn't disagreeing with that. He was talking about that it's okay, meaning to not remove it from the rest of the animal. But enechinami, if it's separate, that's something that wouldn't be okay. But atzad ha'shava shabahen, of Reb Papa's two explanations in the machloikis, Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Reb Yochanan, is that it's not a machloikis at all. That they're not arguing. Loy pligi. What were each one respectively discussing? So you have two Lashonis in the Gemara. But in both Lashonis, there was no Machlekes. Even though it sounds like that Meiram presented this as two opinions, it's really Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There is absolutely no Machlekes. Stating that, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, no, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, it's not true. It's not so simple. It's very nice, Rav Papa. Rav Papa, incidentally, throughout Shas, is making Shalom. And there's a lot of terror on this. But the point is this Rav Papa, who says V'loy Pli, who always does this, you look out for this. But at the same time, he says, this doesn't work over here. Over here, it's Zichra Machloikis. And what is the Machloikis? L'haloisai. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Rashi is a little bit of an arichos. But the way Rashi explains the Gemara is, the machloikis is, do you have to remove the gidda nasha before you put the carbon oil on the mezbech, or do you not have to remove the gidda nasha? Rabbi Yochanan said that the laws of gidda nasha relate even to a carbon oil, meaning you have to remove the gidda nasha. Whereas Rabbi Chiya Yosef said you don't have to remove the gidda nasha. As it relates to eating it, everybody holds you not allowed to eat it. As it relates to putting the gidda nasha on its own, on the mezbeach, everyone holds you can't do that. The question is, do you even have to remove it? Rabbi Chiya Yosef said that you don't have to. It's not that chomer that you should have to remove it, whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, you have to remove it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak said, and I'll prove to you that there's a machloikis, the Tanya. Because, as we'll see now, there's a machloikis Tanoim, whether there's an Issa Gid Anasha by a Karban Oila, as it relates to putting the Gid Anasha on the Mizbech. So Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchak essentially is going to say, this is going to be a little long-winded as well, but just for now, what Rabbi Nachman is going to say is, I found a machloikis Tanoim. So if I have a machloikis Tanoim, so it could be a machloikis Amiram as well. I mean, it's very geschmackra, Papa, to say loy pligi. But at the end of the day, it's not a stabber. It sounds like there's two opinions. And by the way, it's a mafurish of machloikis Tanoim, as we're about to see. So to the extent that we know there's a machloikis out there amongst the Tanoim, it's very yitachin that the machloikis Rabbi Chiya Yosef Rabbi Yechanan was arguing halacha lemaisa with regards to that other machlokes tanam. So what's this machlokes tanam? The Tanya, it's a brisa. It's actually a few brises, a real kachin idea. The hikdar koyin as hakolam mezbecha. The Torah right in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, when it discusses the carbon oil. So it says the carbon oil is different than other carbonas. Other carbonas, you have to put the chalavim, some of the chalavim on the mezbech, and there were four fats that we discussed in Eilu Treifas that are aser bachila, esu chalim, and had to go on the mezbech. The rest of the animal didn't go on the mizbeach, as opposed to the oila, where it says vehikter hakoyin es hakoyil la mizbeach. And the Gemara in this brisa is medayik the word hakoyil. Hakol l'rabbis. L'rabbis at some ways, even the bones, v'agidim, and the sinews, v'akronayim, the horns, v'atlofayim, and the hooves. All of it. V'hikter hakoyen es hakoy l'amizbech. But what didn't go on the mizbech? The skin. But other than the skin, everything went on the mizbech. Yochla filu parshu. I would think that even if one of the bones detached itself from the flesh of the oila, you should take it on its own, throw the bone into the fire. Talmud lo'imad is another pasuk. And this is in Devarim. V'asisa oiloi secho. You should do the avodah of the carbon oil, habasar v'hadam. The basar and the dam. Oh, it sounds like only the basar and the dam. It sounds like not that tzomis. Okay, basar v'hadam. This pasuk, let's look at this in a vacuum. It sounds like only the basar and the dam, meaning you have to remove the gidim, you have to remove that tzomis. It's tedious work. But you're going to have to do a full-fledged nikur on this animal, on this oil, before you put it on the mezbech, because it sounds like only the basar and the dam. No, tam b'vayim is, you have two psukim. Okay, it's how do you reconcile these two psukim? They seem to blatantly contradict each other. On the one end, v'hikter ha-koyin Sakoil Rabbis Gidim Atzomos Kernaim to fight, and then you have a pause that says Vasisa Habas Vadam Oli the Baser. So or and the Dam. So which one is it? Haketzan Michubarim Yalu Parshu Afilu Bereshim Mizbeach Yerdus. You have to say it depends. And when the Gidim and Atzomos and the Kernaim to fight are attached to the Baser, so that's when you have the pasuk of Zenemar Vehikter Akoyin Sakoil Rabbis. Those things. If however they're detached, then you don't. And not only don't you, but even if it's Bereshim Mizbeach Yerdu. What's the chiddush? Because even though there's a whole parak in Mesach Tzvachim called Mizbech Mekadesh, which says that if a dover potzel the hakrova goes on the mizbech, kiven sha'olu lo yerdu nasa lachmish on mizbech, but that's only a dover potzel. This is more removed from haktara that even if it's beroish hamizbech, you don't have the halachas hamizbech mekadesh, thus yerdu, you have to remove it. Says the Gemara of Nachman by Yitzchak's talking. So this was a brisa. Man tana the shambalei dama perishu yerdu. Who is the tana of this mishnah, Rebbe? Why? Because there's another brisa that says the same exact thing. It also mentions a dissenting opinion. And in that brisa, we have a name to the anonymous Tana of this first brisa. What's this other brisa? A similar brisa, just a little bit more barachotha. V'hikdar akonis akol, the rabbis, v'atzomois, v'agidim, v'akronayim, v'atalfayim. But it says, v'hikdar akol, it's the rabbis, those things. Afilu perishu. Oh, even if they were separate. Hamani, mekayim, v'sisal, yitzach, abas, v'adam. So what does that pasuk mean? You're telling me that even if those things were removed, let's say the bones were removed, still there's nothing to put it on the mizbeach. So what does it mean when it says, v'sisal, yitzach, abas, v'adam? Bepoikim. It means something completely different. It means that, let's say, the oil was already in the fire, and then because of the heat of the fire, some of the things that were burning jumped out of the fire. It's not in the fire anymore. Do you have to be machzerit or not? It's what's known as poikin, ikule basar, and we learn, haketzad, ikule basar at the machzer, v'at the machzer, ikule gidim atzamis. Basar that comes out, even if it started burning a little bit, you still have to put it back in. As it relates to gidim and atzamis, those things, you have to put them, Even if they're detached, you still have to put it. But at the same time, if they popped out, that's where you don't have to put it back in. That's the Chachamim. And that's how the Chachamim reconcile the apparent contradiction between these two psukim. When it says Victor Akoyin is Akoyil, it means the Ikrichi of Akhtara. It's going on everything. Even if it's separated, you have to put it in the fire. When it says Vasisoy Lisecha Basav Adam, that's talking about if it came out, do I have to put it back in? Oh, that's where it depends. Ikule Basar Atamachzer, because Victor Akoyin is Akoyil. Ikule Gidim Vatsoma is I Atamachzer. Because it says Vasisa Lesecha Basav Adam. Rabbi Yoimer. Rabbi says what we had in the previous price. Because of one pasuk says Victakven is a koil rip. Because of Echelam Vasisa Lesecha Basav Adam. Mit Hakeitzad. How do you reconcile these two psukim? Mechubarin Yalu. If they're attached, then you put on the mezbech. Parshu. If they were separated, I feel the brayshon mezbech. Yerdu. Either way. So Rabbi in this price is the stam of the previous price, and over here we have two a different shot exactly how to understand it. Says the Gemara. V'rabbanon. Why did the Rabbanon learn the way they don't? Why didn't they learn like Rabbi? Rebbe learned that when it says va hikter akoyin es akolam es becha, it's the rabbis, the gidim, that some is the kranayim klafayim that are attached to the basar. They're included in the chiyav haktar. When it says va isisa lesecha basav adam, it's talking about when they're detached. The rabbanon disagree. The rabbanon say it doesn't matter, attached, detached. There's always a chiyav haktar. What are the two psukim then? When it says hikter akoyin es akol, it means that there's a chi of haktara even when it's detached. When it says v'asis alasecha basav adam, it means that if the haktara started and now it was in a state of poikin, it jumped out, do I have to put it back in? Basar, yeah. Everything else, nah. Says the Rabbana, you know why I learned my pshat? Because I don't think you need a pasuk v'hikta akoyes akolam is becha l'rabbis, that if the gidim and that soma is k'naim klafayim are attached to the basar, that they're included in the ikr chi of haktara. Okay, I hold it's coming the rabbis even parsha. Why? Because the pasuk clearly says that the roish, the head of the oila, went in the mizbech. Okay, was not doing anything. It's not possible to take the gidim and that tzomis out of the roish of the mizbech. You can't do it. The roish of the oila. You can't remove it. I mean, you can't remove it. So you see already that when it's mechuber, it goes on the mizbech. So I know that from the roish, because you're supposed to take the roish intact and put it on the mizbech. There's no way to remove everything from the rush. Elamai must be, when it's mechuber, I know it from there. What then is Vigdakrenes Akulam is Bechel Rabbis, even if it was Parsha? Kitzach Krala Parsha. Rabbi said, I hear, but Mechubar in that Tero, La Yitzach Krala Buye. Kitzach Krala Gidanosha. You're right. From the Pasuk that says that you're supposed to be Mak to the Roish of the Oilo, I already know the Gidim in that Somo is that I'm Mechubar, have it in Haktara. But you know what I don't know? Gidin. Or atzamas, no example of atzamas, but gidim the isura, gidim that are really asav achila. How do I know that those gidim when that mechuber also go on the mizbeach? For that, I need the pasuk of v'hikta akoyin es akolam mizbeach l'rabbi is where it's mechuber. You're right, not classic mechuber. Classic mechuber, regular gidim and atzamas and a mechuber. That I agree with you, Rabban. We can learn that from the Roish of the Yoyla. Rabbi's tweaking his position a little bit, but what he needs this pasuk vasis of v'hikta akoyin es akol is l'rabbi is the gidanasha. Says the Gemara, Rabban. What are the Rabbanon hold about Gidanasha, I'll be Mashki Yisrael. They hold the Gidanasha is not going on the Mizbeach. You know why? Because it says, me Mashki Yisrael. We learn from them, and I'm Mutali Yisrael. Right? This is one of the big Yisraelis in Kachem. We discussed this at length with a lot of raid in the beginning of Masechtas Menachos. So, for example, an animal that's a trefa, you can't bring as a carbon. Why not? You can't put it on the Mizbeach. Why can't you put it on the Mizbeach? You can't eat a trefa. Why can't you put an oiler that's a trefa on the Mizbeach? It says, Mashki Yisrael. Only something that a Yid is allowed to eat are you allowed to put on the Mizbeach. But if something a Yid is not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to put it on the Mizbeach. The point is, if you're not allowed to eat the Gidanosha, then there's Alocha Mimashki Yisrael. Once there's Alocha Mimashki Yisrael, so it can't go on the Mizbeach. For Rabbi, what does Rabbi say? I understand there's a concept of Mimashki Yisrael. But you can't tell me Mashki Yisrael is universal and any single thing in the world that's Asa Bachilo can't go on the Mizbeach, because what are the two parts of every carbon? Forget the oil. What are the two parts of every single carbon that go on the Mizbeach? The Chelev and the Dam. Vasisa Yisacha, right, the Chelev and the Dam. The Chelev and the Dam have one thing in common. They're both Osir Ba'achiva, they both carry a Chiev Karas. So you see clearly that this carve outs to Mimashki Yisrael. So just like the Chelev and the Dam, which are the parts of the animal that are naturally prohibited for a hedyet to eat, still the halach is they are allowed to go on the mizbech. They have to go on the mizbech. Maybe the gedanosh is going to be the same thing. What did Rabbanon say? Mitzvot and mekach shani. This is different. Chelav and dam. It says mefurish in the Torah. You have to put the chelav and dam in the mizbech. What are you going to do? Right? Just like there's an iser eishes ach, but then the Torah says yivam yovi yoleh. So Zok Toysfus and Yavamas Daf Gimel Amid Beis, don't learn Rayas from here to Asay Doichalois Sashayesh Bekaris, because Mitzvahs Mekachshani, that's what the Torah says. Here too, that's what the Torah says, but you can't learn anything from there, right? You can't say that, just like the Chelev and the Dam, go on the Mizbeach Agami Mashki Yisrael. That means that any part of the animal that's naturally Osir is somehow excluded from Mashki Yisrael. No, what the Torah says Mefurish, the Torah says Mefurish. The Torah said regarding the Chelev and the Dam, the Torah did not say with regards to the Gidon. What do you see from this? What do you see from this? Machlekes Tanon. You see in the exchange between Rebbe and the Chacham, who were really arguing a real kachem, a real zvachem de gehalacha. And that is, when you have a carbon oil, and the Torah says, Victor HaKoinus HaKoilam is Beicha, is it mean even the Gidim and that Tzomah, is the Kranayim and the Tlafayim, the part of the oil that's not Basr, it's also not Dan, where it's detached from the oil. Do you put on the Mizbeicha now? According to the Chachamim, you do. According to Rebbe, you don't. There was a sub machloikis, right? Sometimes what starts off as one machloikis ends up in multiple machloikis, and just by virtue of the fact that the Tanam were often debating, had to understand certain psukim, and so what started with one shaila ends up turning into many shailas. So this is a sense, a derivative of that machloikis, and that is this shaila, whether the Gid Anasha of a carbon oil can go on the Mizbeach or not. But the bottom line is, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Papa, you want to make shalom between Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan, and say there's really no machloikis regarding the Gid Anasha. It honestly doesn't make sense, the exercise, because we know it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes Rebbe and the Chachamim. So it's a machlekes Rebbe and the Chachamim. So Zayin, it's a machlekes Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rav Yochanan. Presumably, they're each taking sides in this machlekes Ta'anon. The Gemara continues on this note. Amar Rabbi Huna Rav Huna said, Gid Anasha Shal Oyla Chotzer L'Tapuach. Now, what's the halacha regarding the Gid Anasha the Oyla? So you're supposed to put it on the Mizbeach. But then, before you put it in the fire, you remove the Gid Anasha and you put in the Tapuach. So the Tapuach was the mound of ashes that were in the center of the Mizbeach. They used to clean it every now and again. But that's where the Gid Anasha went. So the Gid Anasha wasn't burned together with the carbon oil, but rather it was put into the Tapuach. Says the Gemara, Rav Chizr. Rav Chizr told Rav Huna, Mari Dichi. Miksiv, Rashi says, Mari de Shmeitzer. That's all Mari Dichi means, right? The one who said this. Miksiv al kein lo yoichal amizbeach. It doesn't say in the Torah al kein lo yoichal amizbeach. What it says is al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael. So as a result, why? Why do you have to put it in the tapuach? Why don't you burn it together with the rest of the carbon oil? Rav Huna, what did Rav Huna help? Mimashki Yisrael, but I'm with the Yisrael. He held Mimashki Yisrael. Meis feifrei to my last year, Kasha. Gid Anosha shal Shlomim. Mechabde la'amo. The Gid Anosha of the Shlomim. What did they do with that? They would sweep it. Mechabde means to sweep. It would be swept out of the Azara in the canal that took out a lot of the water and the dam that was on the floor of the Mizbeach. Vishal oila maleo. And the oila they would put on the Mizbeach. Now, the shlomim they didn't put on the Mizbeach, because a shlomim, like all karbanas besides for an oila, only the fats, only specific chalava went on the Mizbeach. So there's no shaila, there's no havamina that the gidanosh of the shlomim should go on the Mizbeach. So the question is though, what to do with it? Can't eat it, that's for sure. That's never been a discussion whether you can eat the Gid Anasha B'Shlom. I mean, that's the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says Gid Anasha is not even Mekdashim. So of course you can't eat it. So the question is, what do you do with it? So the oila, however, is different. Because by the oila, all the basa went on the Mizbeach. So what do you do with the Gid Anasha of the oila? You also put on the Mizbeach. Oh, my la maleo maktiroi? The Mar says, loy maleo v'cholza. You put on the Mizbeach and then you remove it. So if anyways removing it, it's going to end up on the Tapuach. So just why put it on the Mizbeach in the first place? Because it's an idea that when you makriv something, you're supposed to be makriv in a nice way. And if you would take out the Gid Anasha before you put it on the Mizbeach, so it would defile the carbon. It would make it look like not so nice. It's actually nicer. You put the whole hind quarters of the animal in one shot on the Mizbeach. And then when it's on the Mizbeach, that's when you start removing it. But there's an idea of hakriveu nolo fechosecha, at least put it on the Mizbeach in a nicer way. Now the truth is, if the haktara of the oil is when it goes in the fire, by the time you put it in the fire, you're anyways removing it. So is this Gemara, Shtikl Raya, the major raid that we spoke about in Masech Tzvachim, that putting it on the Mizbeach is already a hakrova? You see, there's an idea of hakriveu nolo fechosecha by putting it on the Mizbeach. Right? Because if the hakrova doesn't happen until it's in the fire, it's anyways not going to be hakriveu nolo fechosecha, just something to think about. Regardless, one final point, Tanya Kavasid Rav Huna, Gid Anasha Shal Shlomim Mechabdei La'ama V'Shal Oilo. Exactly what Rav Huna said, Choltzai L'Tapuach. The bottom line is what we thought was straightforward. Rav Papa said that, you know, we weren't really sure, but you know, the two L'Shoynes, but it seemed like everybody was in agreement what exactly you do with the Gid Anasha of a carbon oilo.
After further review, it's actually quite complicated. So Yad Machloikas, Rav Chiya bar Yosef, and Rav Yochanan. We had three ways of understanding the Machloikas, Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Rav Yochanan. According to the first two ways, it's not even a Machloikas, that was Rav Papa. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said it really is a Machloikas. Then we saw this Machloikas Tanoim. Machloikas Tanam, what exactly you do with the Gidanosh of an Oila? And then we saw it finally, it's Machloikas Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Bottom line is that there seem to be many opinions. What does the Shaila hinge on? On the one hand, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat the Gidanosh. So the carbon oil is not eaten anyways. We're not discussing eating it. We're discussing putting it on the Mizbeach. You can't eat it. Who said you can't put it on the Mizbeach? Now, it's true, there's an idea of Achilas Mizbeach, but the Torah says, Akim lo yoichu b'nei Yisrael. It sounds like we're emphasizing Achilas Adam. So from that standpoint, it should be okay. But then again, there's an idea of Mimashki Yisrael. Anything that's Aser b'Achila is Aser l'Akrova. But then again, the Chelev and the Dam are also b'achila, and it's not also b'akrava. Oh, but the Torah says in Mefurish. The Torah never said in Mefurish with regards to the Gedanasha. Okay, so let's say you can't be makrid. What do you do with it? So should I just remove it? No, you put it on the Mizbeach, and then remove it, and then put it in the Tapuach. What's the point of putting it on the Mizbeach? If it's anyways not going into the fire. Hakuveru olafichasecha. So some of the ideas that are discussed, I mean, the big kasha that the Achroinim mutcha on, and really, if we were going to speak out some raid, this is probably where the raid would be, and that is, how is it possible that there's a shaila in the Gemara of Mimashki Yisrael or not Mimashki Yisrael. There's always an idea of Mimashki Yisrael. So the Gemara did entertain a tzad that maybe Midadahavi Achel Avedan, but that only seemed to be one side in the Gemara. It sounds like the Gemara is entertaining a possibility, just in the Shakla of the Tyre and the Cheshman of the Gemara, without going into it, that maybe there's no Mimashki Yisrael. So just one Ha'ara, the Rogach of a Goyen, and the Sofnas Paneach said that according to the Man Lama that holds, that ain't Begidin Benoisin Tam, that really a Gid is never considered Oichel. It's never considered Oichel. We look at it as Eitzim Ba'alma. It's never considered Oichel. So Kubi doesn't pass Mimashki Yisrael. He said Mimashki Yisrael is the Pshat. You have food that's usher for a Yid to eat. So if a Yid's not allowed to eat this food, then it's usher to go on the Mizbeach as well. But being that the Gid Hanosh is not food, according to that man, because Ein Begidim Benoisin Tam, it doesn't conform. Narvos is a Chiddush HaTorah that I'm not allowed to eat it. It could be the Chiddush HaTorah was only said with regards to the Isser Achila of Alkein Lo Yoichlu B'nei Yisrael, but that Chiddush of Isser Achila does not relate to putting it on the Mizbeach. And the Oymik was, here's the Tiefkeit. The Tiefkeit is that being that it's not food, the Isser only happens when you actually eat it. We don't look at it as machalas asuris. It's not food. How could something that's not food be looked at as machalas asuris? So the Ragach of a Goyin in his Goyinish Iluyish way somehow was mechadesh that Gidanosh is not really machalas asuris because it's not food. So how could it be food? It's asur, but it's not Michael. So it's not machalas asuris. It's lacking in the machalas part of machalas asuris. Elamai, that maisachilo is what's asur. But being that it's not a chefza of machalas asuris, could be it doesn't relate to Mimashki Yisrael. Regardless, we mentioned the tapuach, so the Gemara is going to let us exhale for a few moments before it returns to some heavy-duty Gemaras, but at least for a few moments with a little divrei agada. Tanan hasam tapuach adem tzamizbeach. There was a tapuach. There was a mound of ashes that was in the middle of the mizbeach. Pa'amim haya olav kisholish meis kor. And sometimes it would pile up. There was so much ashes. There were 300 kor of ashes. That's a big number. Amar Rava. Rava said guzma. It's an exaggeration. It's hyperbole. It's not real. Hishku as tamid bekoyes shelzav. There's a mishnah in Mesechtes Tamid that says that before they would check the carbon tamid, they would give it to drink. And the reason they would give it to drink is because it's easier to skin the animal if it drank before the shechita. But the Mishnah says they didn't just give it to drink. They gave it to drink from a golden goblet. Amar Rava guzma. Rashi says it's a guzma to think that they always use this koishos. I mean, sometimes they did, but certainly not always. Rabbi Ami said, Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy. You find that the Torah sometimes speaks in hyperbole. Dibra Nevi'im Lashon Havoy. Dibra Chacham Lashon Havoy. Dibra Chacham Lashon Havoy. We just gave a few examples of it. Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy. Where do you find that the Torah sometimes exaggerates, so to speak? It says, Arim Gedoyleis Ubetzures Bashamayim. This is the Meragim coming back from Eretz Yisrael. They're giving their report of what they saw, and they said there were cities that they were walled, they were fortified, and the walls went up to the Shemayim. Did it really go up to the Shemayim? So it's Lashon Havoy. And Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havoy, and the Nevi'im also spoke that way, because it says, Vatibok Aris L'Koylam. The context over there is the inauguration of Shlomo HaMelech. And it was such a big simcha, there was so much music, there was so much noise, that literally, not the windows cracked, the earth cracked. There was an earthquake from all the noise. Now, the earth didn't really crack.
It's hyperbole. The three times when the Chachamim spoke Balashan Avay. Eluhei, Tapuach, Gethen uparoiches. Tapuach, we just mentioned that. Gethen, the Tanan. Gethen, Shalzav, Ahusa, Medas, Abyssal, Shal, Heichel. There was a Gethen, a vine that was made of gold that was at the entranceway of the Heichel. So you're walking into the Heichel, the base of Mikdash, so you see this golden vineyard. That's what you saw. It was made out of gold. Umudla Gabi Klunzlais, it was being held up by poles. And what people would do is they would donate golden grapes to this golden vine. And they would bring it, the toilet bowl, and they would hang it, they would suspend it there. There was a story of Nimla Shalish Meis Kehanim Lefnaisa. There was so much gold. These vines were so big, they needed 300 kayhanim to remove it. Says the Gemara, unfortunately, that was a gusma. Be nice if it was literal, but it wasn't. Says the Gemara, pareiches, what about, I mean, there was a lot of money there, there was a lot of gold, but not that you needed 300 kayhanim to carry all the gold. What is the Lashon Havoy of pareiches? Pareiches over tefach, the pareiches was a tefach thick. Tefach, the al shivim, it was made on 72 shafts. That means something if you're a weaver. Each nima had 24 threads. It was 40 amas long. It was 20 amas wide. And there were 820,000, meaning 82 times 10,000, do the math. 820,000 nasis of other threads. They'd make two a year. When they had a toivalet, they needed 300 kehanim. So there's a guzma here. So the Mishnah said that the laws of Yid HaNasha relate both to the right thigh and to the left thigh. So the gid on the right side of the animal and the gid on the left side of the animal. Straightforward? Saktumar, no. Masnis and the laker of Yehuda. The Mishnah is not like Yehuda. The time we went to the price of Yehuda, Yehuda says, in an egg, elba achas, that the halachas of gid anosha only relate to one of the two thighs. The hadas machras eshel yamin. And then the price continues and says that the das is machras, that it's the right one. So the Mishnah says the right and the left. Rabbi Yehuda said it's only one. Which one? Hadas machras. So that's a very unclear language. That it's the right. Mifshet pshitle Rabbi Yehuda. My das toira. When he said das, did he mean das toira? Did he say das toira? That meaning mifshet pshitle. That even though from the pasuk it's not clear, but das toira. I know for a fact that it's ardimus svukim misafkele. My das noita. He meant it's. He wasn't sure really. Meaning was it mifshet pshitle or was he misfukim misafkele? Rabbi Yehuda says the right thigh. He knows for a fact it's the right thigh, or he doesn't know for a fact that it's the right thigh. He's misopic. What's the difference? If he knows for a fact it's the right thigh, so you know for sure the right thigh is aser, you know for sure the left thigh is mutter. If he's not sure if it's the right, it's just that das noita, but at the end of the day he's not sure that both are going to be aser, misafik. Additionally, what happens if somebody eats one of the thighs? Is he going to get malchus or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, if he eats the right one, he's going to get malchus. If he's the left one, he's not going to get malchus. According to second shot in Rabbi Yehuda, being that he's misafkele, even if he eats the right one, he can't get malchus, because he's not really sure. If he eats both, that we'll see in the Gemara. But if he eats one, he's not really sure. Says the Gemara, Toshma, I'll bring you a right. This is a Mishnah Masechtas Pesachim. It discusses Noisar of a carbon Pesach. So we know the carbon Pesach was brought not on Pesach, it was brought Erev Pesach, Yudal Nisan. It was eaten B'leil Pesvav. It was eaten with the Seder, Amasas, Umarayim, Yachlu. That's when the carbon Pesach was eaten. The Torah says, yeah, eat it that night. If it was left over until the next day, it was Noisar. What do you do with Noisar? Beish Yisrael, you have to burn. Stating that you couldn't burn it that next day. The reason you couldn't burn it that next day is the next day is Pesach. And you now let it burn kachin that is possel on Pesach. So you had to wait until the following day. The following day, dealing with Eretz Yisrael, there's one day Yontif. It's the 16th day of Nisan, right? Erev Pesach is Yudalit. The first day Pesach is Tezvav. That means the first day Chol HaMoed, where you could burn Kachem, that's possible, is going to be B'shisha Asa. So the Mishnah says, Ha'atzomais v'agidim v'hanoisar yisraful l'shisha Asa. When was it burnt? It was burnt on the 16th day of Nisan. But the Gemara is bothered. Why did the Mishnah single out the Atzomais and the Gidim? Now, one thing is clear. Noisar only relates to a part of the Karban Pesach that you eat. So if you have basar, that is
meant to be eaten and you don't eat it, so what's the halach? If it was supposed to be eaten and it wasn't eaten, the halach is, then you're supposed to burn it. But at some ways, for example, let's say you have a part of the animal that was not supposed to, it had no din achila. There's no mitzvahs, achilas carbon pesach on that part of the animal. Kamuvin, there's no noiser. Noiser is what was supposed to be eaten, and leftovers means you were supposed to eat it and now it was left over. If you couldn't eat it in the first place, or there was no mitzvah to eat it in the first place, then obviously there's not going to be any noiser. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says atzamos? So the Gemara, Masechtas Pesachim, says it's talking about atzamos that has mayach in it. The mayach shabat atzamos is the marrow that's inside the bones, which is a whole sugya in Masechtas Pesachim. So the mayach shabat atzamos, that's obviously what's referring to. But again, noiser would relate only to gidin that can be eaten. Gidin or parts of the animal that can be eaten. If it can't be eaten, it's excluded from noiser. So again, atzamos, v'hagidin, v'hanoiser, yisufu l'shishas, v'abina b'hani gidin ma'avidatayr. The Mishnah singled out gidin. Why did it single out gidin? It singled out atzamos, l'rabos, that atzamos that have marrow in it are included in the laws of noiser. But why did it single out gidin? Iki de basar, are we talking about gidin that are eaten? Leichlino, then eat it. Meaning, why do you have to burn it? Elamai, you're talking about gidin that were supposed to be eaten, that weren't eaten. V'ide ayater, hainu noiser. Then it's included in noiser. What's this gidin? Ela gide tzavr. Maybe it's talking about the gidim of the tzavr, which that's the gidin in the neck, which is, Rashi says, it's kashin katzamos, and the derech is not to eat it. Then ilav basa nino. Okay, so Elamai, you're saying that it's not noiser, because people don't really eat the gidin of the tzavr. Then lishdino. Then why do you have to burn it on shishasa? Then just get rid of it. What do you do with that tzamos that have no mayach in it? You get rid of it. So it's not noiser. So why is this included in the halach of burning it on shishas? I'm Rav Chizda said, I'll tell you what gidim means. Loi nitzruch elu legid hanosha, v'alib de Rav Yehuda dami, inu noig elu ba'achas. It means not just any gid. It's referring to the gid hanosha, the famous gid. And it's going according to Rav Yehuda, who holds gid hanosha is only noig ba'achas. And the Gemara explains. I am Rav Bishloima, sfuki misafkule, shape Bishloima, if Rav Yehuda, who said that gid hanosha is only noig ba'achas, said that because he was mesopic, he wasn't sure which one it is, then I understand the Mishnah. You know what the Mishnah is saying? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you always have to burn the gidin. You always have to burn it because you can't eat it because you're not sure if one of them is the gidanosha. You're not allowed to eat the gidanosha, even if kachin. That's the beginning of the daf. You also can't go ahead and just get rid of it. Why not? Because one of the two gidanoshas is really oichel. And if it's oichel and you don't need it, it's nicer. You have to burn it. I mean, according to the Chachamim, the gid anasha, you could just get rid of. Because being that you're not allowed to eat the gid anasha, it's not nicer. If it's not nicer, you don't have to burn it. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that there's two gidin and only one of them is aser, I understand why you have to burn it. Because I'm not sure if which gid is which. Thus, I can't eat any of them, but I also have to burn both of them. Because on the tzad that it's the gid hanosh, I can't eat it. And the tzad that it's not the gid hanosh, I could have eaten it, would have, should have eaten it. It's now nicer, thus I have to burn it. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda knew which gid hanosh is mutter is aser, he knew the right one is aser, the left one is mutter. So how did Rav Chizda help anything by saying that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, do what you're doing according to the Chacham. What's halach according to the Chacham with the gid hanosh? You just get rid of the gid hanosh. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the same thing. The right one, just get rid of. And the left one, just eat. Says the Gemara, Amrav Ikar Bar Chanina. So isn't Rav Chizda's beer in the Mishnah Masechtas Pesachim a raya that Rabbi Yehuda wasn't spooking Misafkele, but rather Rabbi Yehuda was Mifshe Pshitele? Shav Ikar Bar Chanina said, Loilu Meimelucha Mifshe Pshitele. Really, I'll tell you that Rabbi Yehuda was Mifshe Pshitele. Vachamayaskina, Keshukim Vasayiv Nisarif. It's talking about where you knew which was which, but then afterwards it was Nisarif. Being that now it was Nisarif, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's what this halacha is. I mean, you have to make it a kimd in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Gidim, Yisrafu Bashish Asar, it means where they were Nisarif. Being that when they're Nisarif, according to the Chacham, there's no concept of Nisarif. Both always aser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, one is aser, one is mutter. In the event that it was nisarev, now you don't know which was the right, which was the left. So you have no choice. You're gonna have to burn both. Rav Ashi said a different shot in the Mishnah. Let me do it with Rabbi Yehuda. We're talking about the shamen, the fat that surrounds the gid. Shamen mutter. The shemen of the gid is really mutter. Yisrael kedoshim nagu by yisr. Yisrael kedoshim, and they were naig yisr. So being that really it's mutter, so it's for that reason you have to burn it. But being that Yisrael kedoshim nagu by yisr, so it's for that reason you can't eat it. And thus, you're going to end up having to burn it. So the gidim, you always have to burn. Even according to Chum, you always have to burn it. Because even though the shemen of the gid is mutter, we would know yig isser in it. If we would know yig isser, you can't eat it.
you also can't dispose of it because really it's motiv achila. Thus, it's really nicer. Therefore, you're always going to have to burn Ravina. Similar to Ezel, we're going to see this later in the Perek. Shnei Gidin, there's really two Gidin. Pnimi samuch leetzem aser v'chayav and olav chitzen samuch lebasa aser v'chayav and olav. There's two Gidin. One Gid is the real Gid. The other Gid is just Issa de Rabbanon. So as it relates to the Gid that's an Issa de Rabbanon, that's where it's negeya, being that it's also mutimidei raisa. So it's for that reason, in theory, you have to burn it. But being that it's something that's meaning it's mutav achila, thus it really is nice. So being that you're not allowed to eat it, so you can't eat it. So what's the halacha? The halacha is the gidim, you're always going to have to burn. Tashma, just one final tashma. Ochel mizek kizayis, u mizek kizayis. If you ate a kizayis of the right one and the left one, seifik shmoinim, you get 80 malchus. According to the chachamim, each yerech is also, it's an independent lot. You get malchus for each one. Rabbi Yehuda says, any seifik al arba, only 40. Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo, if you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yehuda knew which one was also, which one is mutter, I understand why you get 40. Malchus. But if you're going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda himself wasn't sure, have a lay asra safik. We had this, right, not long ago. Vishamina lay the Rabbi Yehuda masra safik, loish me asra. If Rabbi Yehuda wasn't sure which Yerich is us or which Yerich is mutter, you shouldn't be able to get Malchus at all for eating the. You should never get Malchus for eating the. Gid hanasha if you eat a bezachaza. Because in order to get malchus, you have to be warned. And Rabbi Yehuda's shita is hasrasaf gloich masrasaf. If somebody warns you, don't do this, because there might be asr, that's not called asra, thus there's no malchus for it. So the kasha is, if Rabbi Yehuda knows that the right one is asr and the left one is mutter, so if you eat them both, bezachaza, you get 40 malchus. Because the right yerech, you know fish was asr. So the hasra is asra's vadi, it's not asra's other. But if Rabbi Yehuda wasn't sure which one's mutter and which one is asr, so if you warn someone, don't eat these two yerechim, and you eat one and then the other one, each yerech is a suffix if it's mutter, it's asr. Thus, is a suffix in the asra. So even though you for sure ate something that's asr, there's no problem mitzad avir that you did. But the asra is a problem. How do you know Rabbi Yehuda holds asra, suffix, loish me asra? The time it's a bryce. Someone wasn't sure who his father was. He wasn't sure between two men. He hit both of them. Is or kilo the cause of a kilo, or he was mekala one and then the other. He kishem v'vas achas, he kilo shem v'vas achas, or he was maka or mekala both of them at the same time. Chayiv, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says v'vas achas chayiv, v'zachas eh potter, v'vas achas chayiv because there was a good asra, but v'zachas eh you potter because you had to have a separate asra for each haka, each klala. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that asra safik gloish ma'asra. So if you see Rabbi Yehuda holds asra safik gloish ma'asra, and you know Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you eat the one and then you eat the other one, you're going to get at least 40. So it must be it was mif. Because if he wasn't sure which Yerech is mutter, which Yerech is aser, each one would be asra safik, and each one would be mutter, not mutter b'achila, but there wouldn't be. So the Gemara says, "Hay tana savlaki idach tana Rabbi Yehuda." It's true there is a tana that holds Rabbi Yehuda holds asra safik loish masra, but there's another Rabbi Yehuda holds asra safik shmai asra. Dom asra safik shmai. The time of the device, the sir menu at biker. It's we're talking about the iser noiser. You're not allowed to have noiser, and then it says if you have noiser, what do you do with the noiser? You burn it. Ba kasav liten asay achalois asay loy meshein loy kenod Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know why there's an asay of Sreifas Noiser to say there's no Malchus on the lav of Noiser to make it into a lav and ita glase. Rabbi Yaakov says Leimen Hashem Uzer. No, the reason there's no Malchus for Noiser is not because it's a lav shen ita glase. You don't have to come on to that say. El mishum dav lav shen by Meisa. V'chol lav shen by Meisa in Loikanov. It's simply because it's a lav shen by Meisa. The point is everybody agrees in this brisa, and what we need is the fact that Rehuda's mentioned in this brisa that in theory there would be Malchus for the isser Noiser. What's the problem? What's the isser Noiser? Isser Noiser, you're not allowed to leave over the food until the morning. So just picture this. It's 3 o'clock in the morning and you're not eating from the bus. Somebody, two yidin, come over to you, erlich yidin, and they say, Rabid, you know, there's an isser noiser. You have to eat it. I don't have to eat it. I have 4 hours until alois hashachar. I don't have to eat it yet. So the hasra is always going to be hasra safik. Being that it's always going to be hasra safik, and Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no malchus. Why? Because the lav shenitik lasei. So you see, mitzad the hasra, there would have been malchus. I hasra safik must be Rabbi Yehuda's hasra safik shmei hasra. I didn't we just say Rabbi Yehuda says that if somebody warns somebody, he says don't hit him, and he hits him, and then he hits the next person. Bezeh chazeh, being that he doesn't know which one is his father. Hasra safik loy shmei hasra must be this machlekes tanoba that Rabbi Yehuda's hasra safik shmei hasra loy shmei hasra. Coming, just tying it all together, maybe really Rabbi Yehuda holds that he wasn't sure mesafkele whether it's the right yerech or the left yerech as it relates to the gid hanasha. If he was mesafkele, how could Rabbi Yehuda have said that if you eat the right and then you eat the left, you're going to get at the very least arba'im l'chayra? There was no asra, isn't it asra? Safik. The teretz is this brice is going according to the manama that holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds asra safik shmei asra. But enechinabi, if you hold Rabbi Yehuda holds asra safik loy shmei asra, then in this case there won't be hasra. there won't be any Malkus at all, not even Malkus Arbaim, because Rabbi Yehuda maybe wasn't Mifshe Pshitalei, he was Sefuke Misafkele. Either way, so we conclude, I mean, at the very least, we can breathe a little bit with some of these difficult Gemaras, and in the next few days, we're going to get into some Divrei Agada, try to understand the Issa Gidanasha a little bit, and the context of the Gidanasha, which is Parshas, Vayishlach, so some nice daffin coming.